problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
This is a special edition of HMB Radio Emergency Broadcast, a Corona Cast, our own version of the Corona Cast. And this week we had in, on Sunday, we had in Dr. Michael Tang. He is a virologist from the University of South Florida. He was on air with us on Sunday answering questions, concerns. We learned a lot. I wanted to share it with you in its entirety. Be sure to follow HMB Radio on Facebook for more updates. Social media, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. I'll talk to you very soon.
The Bow, WHBT, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. And now on 97.1 WSUN HD2, Holiday, Tampa, St. Pete. And now, Real Raw Radio. It's 102.5, The Bone.
Hello and welcome. It's Sunday and I am working, which means we have a global pandemic. God knows I am not coming into work on the weekend unless the people need me. Will Koontz is here.
I am here. Hello. I'm still not ill, thankfully.
Well, you're ill for another reason, and it's your own fault.
Yeah, I drank last night.
Mm. What else are you going to do?
It's Saturday. What am I going
to
do?
But I think we're supposed to be social distancing. Were you at like a party or something?
No, I wasn't at a party. I did stop at my local watering hole, though. Wasn't very many people in
there. Okay, good.
It was pretty dead. There was only about 6 people in there besides me.
Were you a little paranoid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which made you drink more.
Yes.
Which gave you a hangover.
There you go.
You know what?
Dominoes started falling. Things happened.
I appreciate you. You're doing the right thing. Ryan Hoppe is taking phone calls.
What's up?
Thank you so much for staying. How long have you been here? Since like 3 a.m.?
7, but I'm... Okay. Yeah. Spencer was here overnight.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate you doing a special programming. And the guest of the hour, 2 hours, Dr. Michael Tang is joining us from USF. Thank you so much for joining us today. I was telling him, I said, listen, the thing that people love during episodes of crises are experts, and we got one in studio. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Now I know that this isn't a good thing right now. Obviously people are freaking out, people are getting sick, people are dying, but do you feel like you finally get the recognition and praise that you deserve?
This is not exactly what I want to be known for,
right? Okay,
I don't want to
okay.
be that virus guy.
You can say yes.
No, I mean, so, you know, there are a lot of things that we like to do. We like to think about being really famous as doing something really spectacular, mm-hmm. right? Rather than being the expert on this pandemic that's coming, that's kind of scaring everybody.
Sure, but everybody is looking to you for help and guidance, and you're like, finally.
Yeah.
This is what I've been working for the last 2 decades. Now, right. I will let you introduce yourself. You are a professor at USF, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
So I'm a professor at USF. I work in the College of Medicine,
mm-hmm.
and I do research on viruses that infect our lungs.
Okay.
And so the viruses that we work with are ones that infect little kids.
Okay.
And we've been trying to develop vaccines for a long time. So
okay, nice.
This whole vaccine issue with the coronavirus, we've been following pretty carefully too.
Okay. If you guys have any questions for Michael Tang, feel free to call in 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025 are the numbers to dial. Can we just start with the basics? Because I feel like a lot of people just aren't getting it. I did see a few St. Patty's Day celebrations yesterday, and it was making me very upset. It was making me very angry because you're not supposed to be interacting with people, much less, you know, drinking excessively and like making out with carnies. You know, that's probably not what we should be doing. But can we break down the basics? Obviously, I can tell people to wash their hands, but they maybe won't listen. But maybe if you tell them, Michael, maybe if you tell them, they will listen. So what are the basic things that, even though we've probably heard this 1,000 times, what should we be doing right now?
So the whole point of what we're trying to do right now is to break the transmission. I mean, we don't have drugs. We don't have vaccines. There's no real way to prevent infection except for not getting it. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about washing hands, one of the things that we see a lot, people, you know, you sneeze and you cough into your hands and you wipe it on a doorknob. Mm. And this stuff, this virus will actually stay alive on that doorknob for hours to days. So the next person that comes pulls that doorknob and then rubs their nose, they're going to get infected, maybe. Right. So the whole idea then, washing your hands, it's really important. We have these PSAs that say, oh, you got to wash your hands for like 20 seconds, and you sing happy birthday twice, or, you know, there's a whole list of songs by the decade you could write, pick the one that you like. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but if it's a choice between washing your hands for 20 seconds and not washing your hands, you got to wash your hands at least some, right? Uh-huh. Because every little bit helps. If you're going to wash your hands for 15 seconds, that's fine, right? 20 seconds is the recommended amount because that will really get rid of the virus.
Okay.
But wash your hands. I mean, it's a huge deal to wash your hands.
Is it the more the better in terms of time? Or is it like, so if I'm sitting there, because I have OCD.
Me too.
Like a doctor told me I have it. It's not just self-diagnosed.
Oh, my hands are almost bleeding.
Yeah, same. So like, I'll wash my hands for like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Like, is that a bit excessive? Like, we don't need to do it that long?
Right. So they say 20 seconds because the soap actually has some, you know, the chemicals in the soap actually take that much time to interact with the virus and kill it. So it actually has to be estimate contact with the virus. So if you don't wash your hands for that long, then you don't have enough contact time with the soap. If you wash it for extra time, it doesn't hurt, but it's just, it's going to dry out your hands, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what about hand sanitizers? I know a lot of, I have a lot of hand sanitizer, but I didn't even have to get it during the outbreak. I'm just insane. So I stockpile it myself. So this is like my time to shine. But is hand sanitizer, is it really as effective? Is it as effective as soap? Let's start there.
Well, hand washing is preferred, right? Okay. If you actually have the choice of going to a, you know, sink and washing your hands with soap, absolutely do that. Hand sanitizer is when you don't have a bathroom around that you can wash your hands. And the hand sanitizer, you know, they have this thing, you have to have at least 60% alcohol in it. That alcohol is actually what is disinfecting. So it disinfects with for the bacteria, but it's also really effective, especially against viruses like the coronavirus. Flu virus, coronavirus. There's a whole bunch of viruses that are really susceptible to it. You know, in the lab, we actually use 70% ethanol as a secondary disinfectant. So this is something that we just commonly use, ethanol.
Why does alcohol, it's my understanding that there's that the virus is covered, and I guess all viruses, in a fat-soluble membrane, and when you wash that off, it kills the virus. Is that basically what's happening?
Right. So many of the viruses, like the coronavirus, flu virus, the virus that we work on, they have this fat-soluble membrane. Some of the viruses don't, right? So like rhinovirus that causes a common cold, that doesn't have it in there. But the fat-soluble thing is affected by the ethanol. So if you can do this experiment at home, right? You can try to mix oil and water, and you see it doesn't mix.
Yeah.
But you can mix oil and like vodka.
Yeah, right. I see that in my salad dressing. Yes, science. Is it the same as like a, I mean, I know it's a virus versus like a bacterial infection, but soap kills everything? Is that how that works, or most of it? Is it more effective with bacteria than it is with viral infections or viruses?
Well, I mean, there's two things. So part of it is that you're going to kill the bacteria and viruses on your hand. The other thing is you're going to wash it off, right? So it's going to come out into the sink and down the drain.
Interesting.
So that's impressive. But even, you know, even with 20 seconds of washing, you still have a little bit of bacteria on your hand.
Sure.
It's just normal to have.
Sure, sure. And now, is the coronavirus, it is different from the influenza, from the flu? Or is it like, it's similar in terms of symptoms, but not really? Like, it's a dry cough, isn't it, with the coronavirus? I think I was just looking up the symptoms before the show. A dry cough versus like you're not going to get like a runny nose.
Yeah, so the problem is that for everybody the symptoms are a little bit different, but you do have fever, you have cough, you have, you know, you get for the coronavirus, when you get a really severe infection, then you get a really dry cough and it hurts. But a lot of these viruses cause the same symptoms, and you can't really tell. Especially it's flu season, right? So a lot of people out there have flu, and it kind of looks like a viral infection because it's your body's response to a viral infection, and it always looks the same. So you get a fever, you kind of get achy, you feel tired, you get a runny nose, cough, stuff like that. So it's really hard to differentiate between coronavirus and flu virus unless you're a doctor.
Okay. Okay. What would you say is like the tall tale sign that you might have the coronavirus versus anything else? Is it like the I think it's the dry cough, the fever, I think immediately comes on, that comes on pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it looks, I mean, to a non-medical professional, it kind of looks the same as flu. So it's really hard to, you know, self-diagnose. Even I don't think I would want to self-diagnose.
Sure, sure.
Because it's
too cough. Close to tell.
It's too
yeah.
close. It's hard to tell.
Right.
But, you know, what we can do is that if it looks like the flu, you can go to the doctor, and the doctors have really quick tests for flu. Something like 15 minutes. You can take a little nasal swab and know in 15 minutes whether it's flu.
Okay, great.
In the doctor's office.
I'm going to just give everybody an update on the global stats, what's going on. The total confirmed cases right now globally is 156,400. Of those people that have had it, it looks like a total deaths is about 5,800. And total recovered, almost 74,000. So that is great. But what I've been noticing recently is that people who test negative for coronavirus after having it get retested a couple weeks later and they are reinfected. Now, is it that they're reinfected or is it that it never went away and it just like the amount of virus in the bloodstream or whatever went down and it lay dormant and now it's coming back up again? Is that how that works? Or are these people getting reinfected?
It's probably that they were negative because there wasn't enough virus for them to find in the test, but they were still infected. So it's not like you're getting reinfected.
Okay.
This happened a little bit with the other coronavirus back in 2003, SARS virus.
So the coronavirus is when we say that's like a breed of viruses.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's kind of like a species of viruses. So it's like horses.
Okay.
Right?
I got you.
So yeah. So SARS actually had the same sort of deal that it would go up. And it'll kind of go down, and then it would come back.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be something that these coronaviruses do naturally. But yeah, so it looks like people can shed virus for, you know, like a couple of weeks after they've been cleared of symptoms.
And before they even show symptoms, which is the scary part. I wish it was like as soon as you caught it, you got sick, so we could at least identify you and quarantine you.
Right.
But you just walk around like everything's fine, and then boom, you just, you know, continue to spread it to everybody. Yeah. If you would like to call in with questions, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I'm going to be here till 1 to 3 today. I believe Will is staying over with Johnny B.
Yep.
Johnny B will be taking over 3 to 5, and then I believe will be coming in from 5 to 7. Is that right?
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So you got a full day of coronavirus coverage coming to you live. Let's take our first call from Tom. Tom, welcome to the program. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. You know, I think it's a wonderful time. I am a father of 4 children, and it's a wonderful time to not necessarily, you know, sit your kids down and teach them anything, but just provide some information that we no longer teach at the schools, which is basic hygiene, washing your hands, touching door handles at businesses, and then using hand cleaner. These are just basic things. And one thing that we've done yesterday was we took this time to clean the house. I mean, a real thorough cleaning of the inside of the house, organization, and the car's cleaned. And, of course, today they got to go to the beach because of that. But, you know, use this time for something that could benefit your family.
Okay, a call to clean. Not bragging, but Tom has a clean house and car. So you're on your way to the beach, my friend?
We're on our way to the beach, and we'll separate ourselves from other people. But, you know, most people's homes, they don't have the time, and they're disorganized. And not necessarily for this little bump in the road, but if we hit a real crisis, everybody knows to have things organized.
Have things organized. Would you say that most Floridians and possibly Americans are lazy fat slobs? Is that what you're calling in to tell us?
No, I think that most people, their drawer, the house, they have places where they put junk. I know me, it was the garage. It took me all day and half the night to get that garage clean, but it's a good feeling. And there's things that we can do with this time. And as far as informing your kids on things, I don't think if they're under 10, you should even mention anything about this virus or anything. Just say, hey, you know, this is spring break or whatever. Don't put unneeded fear because...
Well, shouldn't they just be, maybe not incite panic, but tell them like, hey, you know, a lot of people are getting sick. Make sure that your hands are clean so you don't get sick or, you know, worse, you make mommy and daddy sick and then they can't go to work
like
and feed
cold. You relate it to a cold, and for goodness sakes, don't leave it on CNN or Fox News and these warnings that are going across the screen. It's just really unsettling. You have to remember back to when you were that age. Doesn't take much to set that little mind off, and those things are imprinted in you forever. Mm-hmm. And we don't want this to be something that they are frightened of forever. We got real issues out here, and they're not involving the coronavirus.
Nice. Okay, Tom, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. Is this Garrick?
Yes, that's Garrick. How are you? Thanks for being having live content.
Yeah, no problem.
Love you very much.
Oh, thanks
my
so much.
My question.
Go ahead.
Yes. My question is this: what is the difference? I'd like to know, and I think a lot of people like to know, what is the difference between this virus and every other virus that we've gone through the past 20 years, swine flu, bird flu? What is the difference with this one where there is, everything's closing down, Disney's closing and everything else? We don't know what the difference is. You know, it seems like the same statistics as a lot of the past, flus and spread and everything else, but why the widespread concern or over concern? You know, everyone has theories that they're not telling us something or there's mm-hmm. something more. Is there any explanation of what the difference is between this? Why are we at this level of pseudo panic?
I'll let you take that one, Doctor.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this is a really good question. I think one of the things that we don't know much about this virus, right? So it's not like flu.
Right.
We kind of have a really good idea about flu. Even when the swine flu came out, we've seen swine flu before. And we have vaccines that we were able to, within, I think it was 9 months, develop a vaccine against that swine flu. But for this one, we don't have any vaccines against any coronavirus right now. So we're all kind of working in the dark, and this virus now seems to be more transmissible than we saw with SARS virus. So now I think, you know, with just trying to prevent the spread of infection, that's why you see all these closures and, you know, all the sports teams, sports leagues going down. It's really just trying to interrupt the transmission. And part of the idea of interrupting transmission is that we don't have healthcare capacity. We don't have that surge capacity to handle, you know, millions of people going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So really, in the end,
sure,
we're just trying to get people, if you're going to get infected kind of at a slower pace so that all of our healthcare can manage it.
Just for reference,
gotcha.
Globally, I think just over 18,000 people died from the swine flu, which was the epidemic that occurred, I believe, in 2009. But the stats are all over the place because then it says up to like 575,000.
Right.
So I guess, you know, people were dying. They didn't test them. So it's just kind of like inconclusive. How do these viruses just go away? Like, I feel like it would just continue until, like, I don't know, half the population died. Like, how is that the case? I mean, I know not everybody is dying from it. It's mostly the elderly. But how do we kind of, like, get rid... Like, is swine flu still a thing? Like, do people still get it? Like,
well, you know, what happened is that this... So we normally had a seasonal influenza virus, and this swine flu actually just kind of took over. It basically moved into the space of the other seasonal influenza. So that swine flu is actually with us now. This
okay.
is our seasonal H1N1 flu virus. It's in our vaccine, so when you get the flu shot, you're actually getting vaccinated.
I have another question,
it.
Too. The question I have, too, is it true that you need to have at least 30 cases of toilet paper in your house to beat this flu?
Yes,
because
it's true. Yeah.
Yes, store it all in your garage and just fill it up.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks, guys. You're absolutely terrific. I appreciate you. You guys are awesome. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Thank
Thanks
you so
question.
Much for calling in with the great questions. We appreciate it.
You got on it.
All right. In terms of the vaccine, I've heard so many different things. some people are saying, oh, we're almost there. We got some, like, what do you call it? Startup in Israel that's like 10 days away. I'm like, those Jews are going fast. Yeah. But then other people are saying, I listened to Rogan and he's like, they had a doctor on there who said that we're like a year and a half away from getting a vaccine.
I've heard 10 years.
10 years.
Sometimes, yeah.
So I have no idea what's going on. Is it the fact that it's just evolving so quickly? Is that why we can't kind of like get a vaccine together to distribute to the population?
Well, I mean, part of it is really that we don't have a coronavirus vaccine available. So there's no way to actually change an existing vaccine to match this virus. So when we're talking about swine flu, it's really easy to change the existing flu vaccine to match the swine flu. But right now, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you can have a vaccine candidate. You can have something that you might think is going to be a vaccine, but it still has to go through testing.
Sure.
Right? So you don't want to put a vaccine in that's not been tested to be safe and effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have three phases of clinical testing. The first one is it has to be safe. So you get young, healthy adults, like college students, mm-hmm. and you put it into college students to make sure that it doesn't cause
any
disease.
Pay them maybe like $350 and some Taco Bell.
$350 would be really good, yeah. Right?
Is there pressure to kind of skip the way that you were doing things before, where you go through testing? Like I felt like there's a push just get it out there. We got to get this out there and try it.
You know, I mean, I think there was a case where that happened, and that was the 5 years ago when there was that Ebola outbreak.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When you know, tens of thousands of people were dying. There was a candidate vaccine that hadn't really been tested for efficacy. So we knew that was safe, but we didn't know that it would actually work. And since so many people were dying, they did kind of clinical testing in that epidemic area. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to be actually really effective. But you can't really skip that test. So, yeah, there is pressure, but I think, you know, all the people who are developing the vaccines, the pharmaceutical companies, the NIH, they're not willing to skip safety and efficacy testing for
liability.
Yeah, for public health issues. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that could anybody. Maybe you give people or it makes their symptoms worse and then they die faster. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
And we've learned that too, because there have been vaccines that have gone out and been tested and been shown to make it worse when you get the virus. So,
oh God.
Yeah. So that's the virus that we work on. There was a 60 years ago, they had a vaccine and they put it into little kids and it made it worse when the kids got infected later. So
I see.
This lesson is, you know, kind of ingrained in all the people mm-hmm. who work on vaccines that you have to do that safety.
Right. Is this virus going to be with us from here on out? Or is there any way to eradicate it really?
It's not clear that, you know, because the SARS virus, for example, kind of came and then went. We don't see it anymore.
It's gone?
It hasn't come out again. I mean, we've just never seen it again.
Interesting.
But, you know, like swine flu came out and now it's with us as a kind of a normal part of our seasonal flu. So this might become one of those kind of seasonal coronaviruses. We have coronaviruses that infect us normally, causing the common cold.
Okay.
This might end up being one of those. But it might just go away like SARS. We really don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
And what makes this one, because I was just talking to my daytime boss about this, and he's not worried at all about it. He's like, they had swine flu in 2003. He's giving me all these numbers. He saw a meme on Facebook. And I go,
he's an expert.
I go, I don't know, man. This is different. And I'm trying to explain it to him that my understanding is that the biggest problem is that you don't know that you have it, and you're going out and you're spreading it to people, and then you get sick all of a sudden.
Right.
And you had no idea. So just the rate of transmission is so much higher, and that's what the main problem is.
So there's a couple problems, right? So this virus actually is more transmissible than your seasonal flu. If you look, there's a number that they use to see how transmissible it is. For flu, that number, every person can infect maybe 1.5 people. This virus, people can infect 2 to 3 people. So it's almost double the transmissibility of seasonal flu. The other part of it, though, is that, you know, Anna was giving out these fatality rates. It's got a case fatality rate that's much greater than seasonal flu, mm-hmm. right? So it's probably not as high as the numbers are coming out right now.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it'll level off.
Yeah, but it'll level off. But as soon as you get better testing,
sure.
right? But it's still going to be around 1%. and seasonal flu is 0.1%. Right. So it's like 10 times more deadly than seasonal flu.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a big problem, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's take one more question, and then we will take a short break. Jim, you're on the line. You have a toilet paper question.
Well, I do have that, but I just want to thank all of you for being there today. It's very important that we all listen to what you folks can offer. You know, I just my question kind of backtracks a little bit from the is about the testing. When I say testing, not testing of the the venom, whatever it is that you use, antibiotic, whatever it is, but the testing of the actual person that's got it. So in other words, I had a discussion with my wife a little while ago, and we kind of got into it. We argue about this stuff all the time. But I you know, she's like, well, we should have had testing 2 months ago. My question becomes, okay, so it appeared in the United States almost 8 weeks ago now, the first case. How do we actually have a test, being that this is a new virus? Do we have a reliable test? And does it take a little bit of time to develop it? Is that why maybe perhaps that our commander in chief had to, you know, kind of slow down? We haven't have all the tests out there yet. Can you develop that test instantly, or does it take some time to do that? And it seems like that's kind of the first problem. Really, you have to determine where it comes from or who has it.
Yeah. So the tests are fairly, you know, you can develop them fairly quickly. The CDC actually developed a test pretty quickly, but that test wasn't specific enough. It didn't work quite the way they expected it to. So it took another couple weeks for them to come out with a test that they could rely on. And then the problem is getting it out to the right people. There are a huge number of companies that have been working on it. The big testing companies like Quest and LabCorp, they all now have tests. But ramping it up has been the problem, and getting enough of the tests out there. But I think we're at a point where we can actually test a lot of people now.
I have a follow-up question to that. If you take the test too early and just say you just contracted it, you just say you want to take the test, you're exhibiting no symptoms, is it a possibility it'll show up negative? Because it hasn't been in your system long enough. It hasn't spread throughout your bloodstream.
Yeah. So when you're testing, you actually take a little Q-tip thing and you stick it in the person's nose and in their throat to swab. And, you know, sometimes if you don't have enough virus there, you can't detect it. And then as the virus starts growing, then you'll get more virus and then you can detect it.
I see.
So some people, if you get it too early, just like you said, you won't see it.
And that's scary.
Yeah. So that's
okay,
what we...
So you're 100% sure that our tests that we have are effective. They will test properly. In other words, they're going to work. It's 100%.
He's going to take you to court if it's not, by the way. So.
Get you on record.
Yeah, I'm a scientist. What? We don't like dealing with absolutes, but I would say that the test now is effective, and it's the same test that all the labs are using. So I think right now the test is good.
Okay, great. Right? All right, well, thank you very much again. I appreciate your working this Sunday.
Happy to, Jim.
Bless you, Jim. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Godspeed. All right.
Hey, wait, real quick. Before that, what is the advantage of being tested? Is it just to have the data on file so you can kind of measure the transmission of the virus? Because it seems like there's no real treatment, right? You kind of just got to rest and get fluids and take it easy, unless you're very ill where you need some sort of respiratory help or something,
just
a breathing machine.
Self-quarantine, I guess.
Yeah, like all you can do is really just lock yourself away.
Yeah, there's two issues, right? There's the public health issue, like you're saying, like you go on a quarantine, you want to keep yourself away from people. The other thing is to let the doctors know that this is potential. They know that potentially you're going to have to go to the hospital. You might have this, you know, severe disease that you're going to have to have medical treatment. Mm-hmm. If they test you and they see it's flu, you know, a lot of the over-the-counter medications and rest and orange juice and stuff like that, it'll be good enough. But
that won't work for this COVID-19.
It depends, right? So for the most part, a lot of the people who get infected will be fine with over-the-counter meds, right? So just a fever reducer, something to make sure that you can breathe properly. It's just that small percentage of people that eventually go to really severe disease. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to keep track of those people that have the potential to go.
I see. Here's another dumb question, but this makes sense to me. I know it's wrong, though. But when you have a fever, why shouldn't you just let it burn through you? Because doesn't the fever help kill the virus?
It does. That's your body's response. But, you know,
if it gets too high, it can harm you and your organs, right?
Right. And so the idea of the fever is that you're going to harm yourself in order to get rid of the virus.
Okay.
So you're basically saying, okay, I got to get rid of this thing. I'm willing to take the hit on my body to get rid of this thing.
I see.
But it's not good for you.
Gotcha. Right? Gotcha. Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break. Feel free to call in with more questions, guys. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. You are listening to live coronavirus coverage. We will be right back.
You're listening to 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw radio. Now, back to 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw radio. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. 6 o'clock, TV hour, don't get caught in
four. Welcome back, everybody. It's not the end of the world as we know it. Just kidding. Yes, it is. But we're going to be live from 1 to 3 p.m., so make sure you tune in with all your questions. We got Dr. Michael Tang. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Johnny B is going to be after us from 3 to 5. Will still be here.
Yeah, full day for me, old Billy boy.
And Ryan will be taking your phone calls. Thank you, Ryan. He's doing it right now. After Johnny B will be Mike O, so make sure you tune in.
Excuse me. Mike O.
Mike O. Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Please call in with your questions, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. We're going to be taking questions all day long. And the more questions that you guys ask, like, it makes me have more questions in my head. One that I wanted to ask you, Dr. Tang, I wanted to ask you why children seem to be okay in this whole fiasco. Because usually they're the ones with the crappy immune systems, like old people, especially like little babies. They're horrible. They can't even like lift their heads up, but they're totally fine. I don't want to say totally, but for the most part, it seems like even they can carry it and maybe exhibit a few symptoms, but it's really not hitting them. It's not hurting them like it is the rest of the population. Why is that? Do you know?
That's a really good question.
I
don't think we know that yet. I mean, there's a lot of speculation on why that may be. So, some of the when the older people die of this virus, mm-hmm. they have a really strong immune response, and this strong immune response is geared towards, you know, getting inflammation into the lungs. Mm-hmm. So that inflammatory process is probably stronger in older people than it is in younger people. But, you know, I mean, they're still looking at why it is,
why that is the
case. But I think that's a really good question, because once we figure that out, then we might be able to do something for the people who are really exhibiting
right.
severe signs of the disease.
Now, do you think that these little bastards are really the reason why everybody's getting sick, because they're catching
carriers.
The virus? They're licking. I went to visit my friend JoJo yesterday, who works at The Bone. Her baby was licking her leg. God. The baby was licking the, what do you call it, the little dresser knobs, the floor. She was licking ice off the floor. She's disgusting. She's adorable, but she's disgusting. So she could easily be carrying this virus, and she's totally fine. She's 10 months old. She's fine, but she could give it to other people. So do you think that it's really the kids, possibly? Because they're just touching and sneezing, and they have no regard for anything but themselves, so...
Well, I think this is one of the reasons that schools get closed, because schools, I mean, they found this in a lot of other epidemics and pandemics, is that schools are one of the places where a lot of viruses transmit.
Sure.
Because you have not just like one age of kid, but if you have a whole bunch of ages of kids and they all have siblings and they all come from different places, and then you throw them together in a very closed space.
Sure.
They're going to transmit among themselves and then take it back to their home. So, yeah, so closing schools is actually one of those public health measures that's really effective at kind of blocking some of the transmission of these viruses.
Gotcha. All right, we got full phone lines right now. Let's take our first phone call from Carl. What's up, Carl? You just got out of the hospital, and turns out you have pneumonia and not corona. Congratulations.
So they tell me.
Oh, okay. Allegedly. All right.
I wasn't tested.
Oh.
And, you know, that was my issue. And I mean, I have, you know, five people that live in my house, my children, plus a newborn baby.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So You know, I'm concerned, obviously. I mean, I'm not so concerned for myself. You know, whether I get through it, I get through it. If I don't, I don't. Whatever. But I don't want to affect my, you know, my firstborn grandson. You know, I mean,
and when you just got out of the hospital, like, so you got
yesterday.
Okay. And how are you feeling? You got
miserable.
Okay. So you're not feeling well, but
I cannot breathe.
Oh, okay.
I ran a fever on Monday, gone by Tuesday with no medication, not even a Tylenol.
Okay. All right. But you probably need to still really be careful whether you have it or not, because if you don't have it, you are susceptible to getting it, and it would probably hurt you a lot more than the average healthy person.
Oh, besides, I have hypertension, high blood pressure.
Oh, yeah, you got it all.
COPD. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I'm concerned about myself, but I'm more concerned about my children and my grandchildren.
We were just discussing, I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be just fine.
I mean, he hasn't even had his first shots yet. You know, that's what worries me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean...
How do I go about getting tested if the hospital won't do it? They told me I don't fall into the criteria for being tested.
What's that?
Yeah, different hospitals have different criteria for what is considered a potential case of mm-hmm. this coronavirus disease. And so you have to get a doctor's orders, really, to get tested. So the doctor has to sign off on something, and the sample gets sent to either the Department of Health, public mm-hmm. laboratory, or I think now you can get for the testing companies, the LabCorp and Quest will test.
I mean, he's out of the hospital, but I mean, if I felt like I was sick, I could call like the CDC, would give me a number to call my local provider that I could call. Can he just go through those channels now? And
yeah, I actually don't. It would have to go through a doctor's.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Florida Department of Health has a website set up. If you feel like that maybe you need to be tested, maybe give them a call.
Yeah.
866-779-6121 is their number. Or they have a email set up as well, COVID-19@flhealth.gov. Maybe send them an email or something and just tell them you're concerned.
Can we put that on the Bone Facebook page?
Yes, we can.
Page?
I'll do that right now.
Awesome. Thank you, William. Yeah, that's what I would do, sir. If you're at all concerned that you may have it, definitely give those people a call. Do you have Facebook, sir?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go to the Bone Facebook page. Will is going to post all the information right now so you can give them a call and hopefully they can help you out.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
All right. Take
keep
care.
You guys informed.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, Carl. Stay safe and alive. Michael. You said you work for one of the companies that offer testing. What's up, friend? How are you?
What up, dog?
Hey. You look so good. Oh, what's up, man?
I just had a question. It may be weird, but I pick up a lot of the specimens all around the county, and I just wanted to know, like, I've picked up some specimens for, like, testing for the virus, but there's no real way to tell if it's negative or positive until it gets to the lab. Mm-hmm. But I put on gloves all the time and I take them off. I just wanted to know, would it make sense to keep the gloves on and sanitize those?
That's maybe
a weird question, but I don't know.
It's a good one. I get it.
It's a good question. You know, I think because the gloves are disposable, I would probably, instead of trying to sanitize the gloves, I would just change them out if you have concerns that you...
Okay, I just didn't know because I go in and out of a lot of hospitals and stuff within, yeah, like, it could be like a minute or
sure,
30 minutes.
Very
or
wasteful,
a
maybe.
A couple minutes in between. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
I didn't know if it had the same effect on latex as it does on your hands.
Well, so anything on the outside of the glove, if you can, you know, if you have a concern that you might have touched something that's contaminated with the virus, just change out the gloves. I mean, it's much better. These things, it may be a little bit wasteful, but it's...
Safer.
It's a lot safer to just change out the gloves. Because when you sanitize it, you might not get it, right?
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Have a good one. And I feel like having like wet gloves on might just be, I don't know, more difficult to handle things and dry them off.
I think the other thing, too, is when you try to sanitize your gloves, mm-hmm. you may rip the glove, or you may, you know, do some damage to the glove, and then it, you're not protected anymore.
Right.
So if you think it's a problem, then just change out the gloves.
Take it away, throw it away, Michael. Let's take this call. Christina, you want to know if the flu shot helps with the coronavirus? Christina?
Me and Dan's like the same thing. Hello?
Hello. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Hi. Being that the coronavirus has the same symptoms as the flu, can getting the flu shot prevent you from maybe getting the coronavirus? Or also, add-on, do you think that there will be a coronavirus, like a flu shot for the coronavirus in the future? Prevention.
Yeah, so the flu shot was not actually going to do anything for the coronavirus. The one thing that it might help your doctor is if you have the flu shot and you exhibit signs, the flu-like signs, maybe they can
rule it out
a little bit, but still they're going to test you for flu and all the other things. So, yeah, the flu shot's not going to do anything for the coronavirus.
But, okay.
Yeah, but they are working on vaccines for coronavirus, and that might... Again, this is one of those things that's going to take a while. It's going to take a year, year and a half to get the vaccine where it can get out to the public and people can get it. So there's nothing, no vaccines or drugs right now for the virus.
Okay. Also, following up with another question from earlier, you said the best way to get over it is over-the-counter medicines and stuff. What about the states that are cleared out of toilet paper and over-the-counter medicine? What do people do then when they can't get their hands on fever reducers?
It's time to start robbing your neighbor, Christina. It's time to start robbing your neighbor, punching them in the face, and taking their Tylenol.
Oh, no.
Okay? That's what we have to do. Just kidding.
All
Go
right.
ahead, doctor.
All right.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the toilet paper thing, it kind of confuses me because this virus is a lung virus, and people are...
It's a dry cough.
It's a dry cough. I went to one of those big box stores, and they're completely out of paper towels and toilet paper. And I was like, well, I don't know how people use their toilet paper, but one of those packages is going to last my family for like 2 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you have, you know, fever reducer is great because it will make you feel better. It's, you know, I think we... As human beings, we survived a long time without fever reducers and had things like flu. But it does help if you can get it somewhere, some sort of aspirin or ibuprofen or acetaminophen. But yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to find in the stores.
Christina, are you familiar with the dark web? I think it's time to go to the dark web. You might find it some other things that, you know, maybe you weren't looking for, like, you know, kidneys and children. But I think you can also probably find some Tylenol. It might be a little expensive, but, you know.
You could have an assassin.
Absolutely. A hitman.
Tylenol.
Yeah. It's going to get a little bit crazy, but it might be worth it if it's going to save your life, you know?
Right. That's
okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, Christina. Take care and be safe, okay? All right. Bye-bye.
I have a question kind of related to what Christina was saying.
Yep.
We're coming to our summertime here in Florida, spring's here. The flu season is going to be coming to an end. Is that going to help with COVID kind of fading away as well, or is this something we're going to have to stick it out through the summer?
So I think the thing that we saw with the swine flu, for example, is that it was off-season, right? So we had swine flu, and it came kind of spring, summerish. And so I think once you have these viruses that are really new to the human population, they're not going to behave like seasonal viruses. But what we also saw with the swine flu is now it became seasonal. So that may occur with this virus, or this virus might behave like SARS and just go away. But the season's not going to matter so much with this virus, I think.
Why does the season matter at all? Is it what people are doing? Is it when it's cold? Not that you're necessarily sick, but, you know, it's cold outside, your nose is running, you're more likely to spread it, your fluids are coming out of you, and people are more in confined spaces. Is that what makes viruses, like flu viruses, worse in the wintertime?
Well, you know, I know that's a really good question, and nobody has the answer to that.
Okay, like why they're
seasonal?
People
have been studying this stuff for a long time and looking at seasonality. So flu is always winter. So in the northern hemisphere, it's December, January, February.
Sure.
In the southern hemisphere, it's like July, August, but it's always in wintertime. We don't really have any idea why that is.
So they do obey those rules in the respective hemispheres.
Right, and then as you get closer to the tropics, like the equator,
You just get Ebola.
Okay, and just die, so you don't have to worry about the flu.
That's good. All right, let's take a few more questions. Alex, you have a pregnancy question.
Yes, I have a
Hello? I think your phone has coronavirus. Can you please call back on a different line? Thank you so much. Mark, you have a hot tub question.
I did. Hot tubs and saunas, are they helpful or harmful?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Helpful or harmful in terms of getting rid of the virus? Or, I'm not sure.
Well, maintaining that you don't get it. I mean, if you're heating your body to over 100 degrees.
Like you're giving yourself a fever.
If you... Get yourself hot before so you don't get it. It's not really the way things work. And the thing is that the virus has to, when it comes in, it's usually coming in through your nose. Mm. And your nose already is colder than the rest of your body because you're breathing in the ambient temperature air, right? Room temperature air. So your nose is actually about 4 degrees cooler than your lungs. So heating yourself up is probably not going to make that much of a difference in terms of transmission.
We're also like warm-blooded, right? So it's not like we're a lizard or it's going to really warm up us internally. Question about hot tubs, though. If I jumped into a body of chlorine water, is that helpful? Like, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, if you have that chlorine going in your nose everything out of your nose, maybe that helps.
But sir, what about your skin and stuff? Like, does that...
Well, you're not getting infected through your skin.
No, that's
Same thing with washing your hands.
Sure, but like if it's on your skin and then like you lick your hand or something, I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Just try not to lick your hand.
Okay, sorry. I need to stop licking myself. Okay, yes, clearly.
That's the issue.
All right, Mark, not really going to help is the question, but continue to... I feel like it might make it worse, actually, if you go in there and you're breathing, you're sweating, you know, and
it's all wet, moist.
I feel like that's where they thrive. Maybe not. I don't know.
Can I ask one more?
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. The other question is there a way that they can maybe make the chemicals open source for figuring out whether you have the virus or not?
The what?
So the test itself requires pretty sophisticated machines that are not really readily available. Mm. So this
is not a chemical thing then?
No, it's not a chemical thing. It's actually looking for the genome of the virus, which is RNA. So it's nucleic acid. And so you really need the ability to take the swab and get the nucleic acid out of the swab and then run it in this specialized machine that is, you know, like $30,000. Plus you have to have all the reagents. So it's not something that we can do at home. It's not like some of the tests.
It's not a test tube and you could just color code it, right?
Yeah, it's not like a pregnancy test or anything. You just buy it at Walgreens.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. Let's take this. Oh, sorry. Paul, you have a long operation question.
Yes. Great show, Anna.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to ask the doctor, 20 years ago, I had a lung operation because I had a collapsed lung. Mm-hmm. So does that make me lower my immune system and make me more vulnerable to this coronavirus?
How old are you, Paul?
I am 52.
Yeah, I don't think the lung operation itself makes a difference unless it was a lung transplant. So as long as you're not... if you have a transplant, then you have to knock down your immune system a little bit. But if it wasn't a transplant, then I think you're basically normal susceptibility, which is like everybody else.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Paul, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. Okay.
Be well, Paul.
All right, Paul, take care.
See you, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Last call before we go to break. Hello, you're on the bone. What's going on?
Hi, this is Christina again.
Hey, Christina, what's up? You got a new question? No, it's not okay to drink hand sanitizer.
Yeah, do it, Christina.
Oh, dang it.
Okay, go ahead.
It's got alcohol in it.
Yeah, I know.
drink some bleach. Let's go.
Do you think this could turn into like a Purge movie where people are going and, you know, robbing and killing for hand sanitizer and toilet paper?
She's on the dark web is what happened. She visited the dark web, and now she's freaking out. This happens.
Yeah, like...
Man, there's people selling masks and, like, you know, in the parking lot for like $100 for 10 masks. Yeah. You know, I think the one thing that we're going to see is that a lot of the public health measures that we're taking, closing schools, closing all the sports things, these are temporary. We're not going to do it for a year.
Christina, can you turn down your radio, please? We're getting a lot of feedback. Or if you're on Bluetooth, please take us off. Thank you, ma'am. All right, sorry.
You're welcome.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this is temporary. We're not going to isolate for that long. So it's not going to be that we're running out of food or running out of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Well,
it seems that way.
It seems that way if you go to the stores.
Right.
But, yeah, I saw a bunch of people with rolls.
An additional question, how do you think it's going to affect our truckers? Because my husband is a trucker, and we are on the road as of now under emergency conveyance for food delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take away their sleep. They're going to be sleep deprived. He was like, well, what if they're possibly like robbing our trucks at night? Do you think it's going to turn into something like that?
I mean, who knows? But I mean, you know, he's hopefully in a truck. He can easily run people over. So, you know, you should be fine.
Yeah.
When he's sitting shut down, he's talking about like, you know, opening up the back of the truck.
Right.
And
right.
Getting the supplies out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people were pretty polite at the box store when they saw that there was no wipes or toilet paper. They weren't, like, trying to grab stuff out of other people's carts.
Yeah, there's only been several cases where police has been called that I've heard of, like, few cases, like two maybe.
To be honest with you, I've seen more police intervention with the Popeye's chicken sandwich than I've seen with the hand sanitizer and toilet paper debacle. So I think we're doing okay right now. I think we're okay.
Okay. Good deal.
All right, Christina, take care. Feel free to call back if you have any other questions, okay?
All right.
All righty. All right, guys, continue to call in. We're going to take calls all the way till 3 p.m. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. We will be right back. You're listening to 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw radio. Download the 102.5 The Bone app now to listen to the most recent episode of The Mike Calta Show. It replays 24/7, so you have no excuse to miss anything. The 102.5 The Bone app. Real, raw radio. The Bone, WHBT, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. And now on 97.1 WSUN HD2, Holiday, Tampa, St. Pete. And now, Real Raw Radio. It's 102.5 The Bone.
Welcome back. We're going to jump right into it. My name is Anna Hummel. Yes, it is a Sunday, and yes, I am working, but we're giving you live coronavirus coverage with myself and William and Dr. Tang and Ryan Hoppy until 3 p.m., and then Johnny B is going to take over with Will, mm-hmm. and I'm sure Ryan is going to stay because he's not leaving. He's not going home to his cat.
No
That's
way.
For sure. Feel free to call in with more questions, folks. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. We have a question from Brian. You have a question about being in a high-risk group. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm in a high-risk group. I've got a real bad heart and so on. My wife works at Publix. They got her sanitizing the place.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is 21, so God only knows what's going on there. So how do I protect myself in my own home?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, when we talk about social distancing, that you can't really do that with your family, right?
Right?
So I think the one thing is just to be pretty clean and watch what you're touching. And one of the things that, you know, that I do is to wipe down stuff, right, that you think that everybody touches, like handles,
mm-hmm.
door handles, refrigerator handles, the toilet handle.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this at work too. When you wash your hands, you have, you know, you can use paper towels, or if you have a towel, you use that on the door handle and stuff like that. I think the one thing you really want to do is to try to prevent the contact. The other thing is obviously, as much as possible, you want to just try to stay a little bit away from your family, not too close. But again, you know, as a family, you share so much together that it's almost impossible not to be close.
Basically, I'm doomed.
Right. You're doomed. No, you're not doomed.
You're not doomed. You just, I think, you know, I think you're more likely to catch it from somewhere outside of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that you'll see symptoms too from your family, but hopefully, none of your family.
Well, my son got, I'm sorry to interrupt. He's sick, but he's been sick for a while. He's had this congestion and so on. So he got scared and he went to the hospital and they basically told him they don't even have the test. And I was at the VA Tuesday and they had no tests.
Yeah. Yeah. There's tests in some of the, like, I think Quest has a test now. And I know the Department of Health public lab, has the laboratory has the test, but they're not as widely available as we would hope.
Mm-hmm.
But they are starting to come out with a whole bunch of things. I've gotten emails from companies that said, you know, now we
are
have
people in high risk groups surviving, or are they just pretty much done?
Oh, they're high risk. People in high risk groups are surviving. I think they do. Some of them do pretty well because they don't get the really hot, bad symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And they're probably being more precautious than everybody else.
Yeah. So. And then I think the other thing is that people like you that are in high-risk groups are really cognizant about getting infected so mm-hmm. that if you get some sort of symptoms, you're going to go to your healthcare provider and try to, you know, prevent getting the really severe disease. So yeah. I think it's good to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this thing is so infectious that
mm-hmm. yeah.
there's no way to really prevent it.
Translation, feel free to spray people with bleach right in their eye. It's okay, Brian.
I think so.
Just spray them right in their eye. Yeah. And it sounds like, so you live with your wife.
Just throw it.
Yeah, you live with your wife and your adult son, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, you can have like a team meeting at a distance or like maybe do some FaceTiming where you could be like, okay, after every use anybody uses the kitchen, we wipe it down with the wipes. And your wife works at Publix, so she can just steal right from all the wipes. She doesn't have to put them on the shelf. She just puts them right in her purse. You know, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
That's what you tell Mamacita to do.
Or you could take the children. Right, thank you guys
very much.
Can't take a shower.
See you, Brian.
All right, Brian. Stay well. Stay safe. Okay.
I've been looking for an excuse to cancel my family for years.
Here we go.
This is the perfect excuse. I don't have to speak with them anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, now I don't feel bad when I don't answer the phone.
Right.
I'm just protecting myself.
They can give it to you through the phone, by the way.
Yes. Well, that's the logic I'm using. I don't know if that's
Karen
true or
that.
Not, but you know, that's what I'm going with.
Tell Karen that. A question about masks. Mm-hmm. Are they really useful? I heard that they help you from giving it to other people, but it doesn't really help you from getting it from other people. What is your thoughts when it comes to masks? And then they also get wet, don't they, after a while? So then they're pretty much useless, right?
Right. So masks, the masks that we normally get, these surgical masks,
yeah.
they're not going to do anything for you.
Really? Okay.
They're not geared to prevent that kind of infection because when you put it on, you're going to have these little holes all over, and it's not going
sure.
to really be right on your face.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are really good are these N95s. But
what is it called?
They're called N95.
N95
masks. These N95 masks are built to protect people from really small particles.
Okay.
So, you know, like the guys that cut the countertops, the granite countertops,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of small particles. These things are really, you know, they have to wear this. This is, you know, a requirement, work requirement, because all those little particles can get into their lungs and cause really significant disease. So those guys really absolutely have to have those masks. I mean, you can wear those masks and that will probably protect you from coronavirus, but
mm-hmm. They're not going to be that useful.
It depends on how good your hygiene is beyond
yeah,
that,
uh-huh.
right? Because you can wear the mask all day, but then if you start touching stuff,
and touch your eye,
touch your nose,
mm-hmm.
it's
not
going to
help.
Yeah.
Not going to help, guys. All right, let's take a few more phone calls. We got Ian on the line. Life of the virus on surfaces. You have a question.
Yes, that was exactly it.
Yep.
I was just wondering, like,
that's all Ryan Hoppy right there. He's taking good notes.
Yep. What the durability is externally is what I was asking about the virus.
Okay. So how long can it live on surfaces and what?
You know, I actually just saw a scientific study on this last week. Some of our government scientists actually tested it on cardboard, on stainless steel,
different surfaces,
on copper.
Mm-hmm.
It can last, if you just leave it, it can last about 24 hours.
Okay.
So we look at it in terms of half-life. So how far does it have to go for half of the virus to die? So it's about 24 hours if you just kind of leave it on these surfaces.
Do all surfaces respond the same way?
They're a little bit different. Okay. Cardboard is really harder because it's, you know, more absorbent. It soaks stuff up.
Yeah.
But the metals, so copper is a little bit better, mm-hmm. But not much, like maybe a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Stainless steel is about 18 to 20 hours. Plastic, they had plastic on there, and that's about 18 to 20 hours. So yeah, so if you don't clean, it will be there for at least a day. You can detect virus for like 3 days, but there's so little of the virus there, it's just detectable. You can detect the a little bit there.
Okay. Does that answer
Excellent.
Your question?
Thank you.
All right, Ian. Take care. Be well, my friend. Be well. Dan, a 14-day quarantine question. Go for it.
Yes, ma'am. So we're all stocked up. We got everything that we need in a home, right? Mm-hmm. And we happen to see my daughter, she works at Publix. Say that she gets it. I can't exactly leave her in the house by herself. And is it all right for us to leave if we needed to, if she's quarantined? Probably not, right? We would all have to be quarantined in our home.
Oh, I see
for
what 14 you're saying.
Days.
Right. So you have to be quarantined with her because, you know, you've been exposed. You probably have it. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's the problem. If she turns up with symptoms and then it's tested positive, then you've been exposed to her. So they would ask you to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you'd be stuck with her.
So she would go to LabCorp, get tested, or would they bring it to the home? Is that what they're doing? I heard one individual with the gloves saying that he's coming by different places.
Taking
and
he's probably picking up.
Is LabCorp coming to homes? Because out of kindness, not to go out in public because you believe that you may have symptoms. Mm. Are they doing that as a service or not?
I think LabCorp is probably going to doctor's offices. I think, you know, you have to have a really special kind of swab, and it has to be a healthcare provider that actually does it, because you have to make sure that you get the right sample. Because if you just...
That's what happens? It's a swab?
It looks like a really long Q-tip. You have to kind of put it all the way back in the back of your throat. And so you really have to be a trained healthcare provider to know that you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. And then that is the sample that gets taken. And that's what that guy from LabCorp was picking up from the doctor's offices.
About the other caller that just called in about the copper, stainless steel, and cardboard... Mm-hmm. Is there a way to look around your house with a black light to see if there's some type of virus
you might pick up some other stuff with the black light that you may not want to see?
Oh, I know that.
Okay,
I know.
Just letting you know.
Why I'm saying it. I know that. I know. My significant other is an EMT, and she has something similar to that. I was wondering if there was a way to pick up some type of, I don't know.
You're going to see a lot of things with that black light that it's not really going to tell you whether it's a virus or not. It's just going to be stuff, right? It might be.
Why is it on the ceiling? I don't know.
I don't know. It just got up there.
Yeah.
But we're cleaning the entire house with bleach and everything else today. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend the whole day doing it. So if we notice anything, possibly maybe with a black light, you think that might be beneficial or not?
Sure, because I mean, some of the things that you pick up with black light might be bacteria, or could be.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you pick up something with black light, I would clean it.
Yeah. Right. What would be the best thing?
So what we use in the lab to disinfect is a 10% bleach solution. So you mix one part of bleach with 9 parts of water, and that's really effective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you use 100% bleach, it's not as effective at killing things.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah.
You need the water in there to help, and then the 10% is actually... So that's what we use for in the lab when we work with you know, viruses and bacteria. We disinfect with 10% bleach solution.
Okay.
So
I was a mold... technician for a while, and we had a negative air machine inside homes after it's been cleared with a Benefact. Would that be a good solution to have inside a home, a negative air machine where it takes in the air and it filters it out, not like a dehumidifier where it just sucks in all the moisture? What do you think about that? Have you heard of that before? It's called an Orion.
Yeah, you know, I think negative pressure is good if you suspect that you're going to have a lot of the virus in the air, right? If you if there's somebody coming and coughing and sneezing and, you know, putting a lot of the virus in the air, then you want the negative pressure. I'm not sure that as a, you know, a day-to-day thing that this is going to be really all that effective, because you still have the possibility of transmitting by contact, right? So you can have all this negative pressure and the air's clean, but if your door handles are not clean, you can probably still get infected.
At least in your home, maybe before you get the coronavirus, to have a negative air machine in there as a preventative kind of machine, just to have very good air inside, because I mean, you're going to have all this air coming in from outside. It might work. It might be helpful. I don't know.
All right. All right, Dan.
Just to throw it out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your ideas. We are having a lot of calls come in, so we got to let you go. But have a great day and stay safe, okay? Happy cleaning.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You guys are great.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, guys, I just want to do like a little rundown of what's going on in terms of coronavirus, like worldwide. We got some news coming in. It looks like in the UK, residents over the age of 70 have been ordered to self-isolate for 4 months. And I think the travel ban yesterday, I know it was before yesterday, it was all of Europe. And now I believe it is all of Europe plus the UK and Ireland. So nobody is going anywhere.
I've even heard Governor DeSantis is talking about we need to look at domestic travel
right
now.
I just see here White House medical expert says there's no immediate need for domestic travel ban as of right now, but this could change at any moment. So who the hell knows?
I mean, who knows what next week is? This week
tomorrow
was so crazy.
Yes.
And then it just feels like it's getting exponentially. There's just so many things happening. So, I mean, do you see, doctor, a potential Italy situation where we're just nobody
lockdown
leaves, just you're just in your homes and that's it?
I mean, that's what we're trying to prevent with school closures and all that stuff. So I think by taking these pretty strict proactive measures, you know, we're closing down schools before we have kids that are sick, right? So this is, again, this is, schools are one of the great places to transmit the virus between people. I'm hopeful that we don't end up as Italy, because, or Spain. Yeah. Spain apparently got completely locked down today as well.
Yeah, that would be that'd be no fun, no bueno. Yeah. It says here, this just in, doctors want to treat coronavirus with blood from recovered patients. Would this help with the vaccine in terms of, like, now you have like an, I don't even know what you call it, not
yeah,
an antiviral, not an
antibody
is for a virus as well. I thought it was just for bacteria.
Yeah, so basically the idea of a vaccine is that it makes your body make antibodies.
Okay.
And these antibodies will then prevent the virus from infecting you.
Okay. I thought antibodies were only for like antibacterial, but it's antiviral.
It's antiviral, it's antibacterial.
Everything. Okay. Everything. Okay, got it.
So it is a thing that there used to be some drugs on the market where they take people's blood that are really responsive to particular viruses, and they use that serum to treat people who have severe infection. The problem with that is, if you think, what is this movie? They vaccinated one chimpanzee and then they provided protection for everybody. If you think about how much blood is in a person, and you think about how many people you're going to have to treat, it just isn't going to work that way.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you have a few liters of blood in you and you're going to need lots of blood in order to filter out the antibodies and then treat somebody. It may work, but it's not going to work. It's not going to be a widespread solution.
Got it. Or anytime soon, because it's going to take a lot of time to go through testing and stuff.
Yeah. Here's a dumb question I just thought about that I know is stupid, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do we have the technology to like clone blood?
Yeah, so this is actually a thing. So it's not cloning
Thing, Will.
It's not cloning the blood. But they
replicating?
They make antibodies that recognize viruses, and you can actually take those cells out and grow them in culture and then get all the antibodies out of those cells that recognize viruses. And those are called, they're called monoclonal antibodies. They're antibodies that a lot of these, a lot of the newer biologic drugs, so that cancer immunotherapy that they're trying to treat people, these are antibodies that they get injected into people. And so this is really a thing. The virus that I work on actually has an antibody treatment, and it's exactly that. They've cloned out an antibody from blood, and then they've use it to treat people.
So. Is it just not feasible on a wide scale? Is it too hard to do for that much?
Well, you have to get the antibody first, and then you have to test it, and then you have to show that antibody. Again, this is a whole testing thing going on, so you have to show that it works.
Right.
But it is possible, and you can do it on a very large scale if you want to. There's no real practical limit on how much antibody you can make. So if this becomes a thing, then you can actually make a lot of it and treat a lot of people with it.
Okay. I don't feel so stupid now.
It's a great question.
I have a question that maybe the government doesn't want me to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Can you look at a virus and tell if it was manufactured in a lab? Like, do you think that this is some sort of virus that occurs naturally in nature? Like, can you tell by the molecular composition of a virus if it's something that occurs naturally in nature or if it was somehow manufactured in a lab to kill lots of people for who knows reasons, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, if you're good enough to manufacture something that will kill a lot of people, mm-hmm. you're good enough to hide the fact that it's manufactured.
Ooh, okay,
right?
Yeah.
But for this particular virus, they've actually found a very, very similar virus in bats. They actually, so there's, the bats apparently have a lot of these coronaviruses in them, and they've sequenced a lot of the bats. And this virus that has come out this time is about 96% identical to one of the viruses in the bats. So it's almost guaranteed that it came from a bat.
From bat soup, right. Or bat is that soup. Just the cover? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I know you're probably aware that there was like a bio lab, like a few kilometers away from the seafood market in Wuhan. I know this has nothing to do with like your expertise, but just your thoughts. Do you think it's a little bizarre? Huh?
Yeah. So the Wuhan Institute for Virology is their biggest and best virology institute in China.
Okay.
But it's not one of those things. I mean, you know, I used to teach this class in undergrads, and one of the things that I did at the end was to get undergrads to think about what would be the best bioterrorism weapon.
Ooh.
Right? What would you do?
Okay.
And so,
because you were looking for ideas,
looking for ideas.
Okay.
Looking to see how well they're thinking about it. I don't think this is one of those things that you're actually going to use as a weapon.
Okay.
Right? But yeah, I don't. There's pretty much no way.
If you wanted to kill, it's probably not the best way. But if you wanted to slow down, perhaps a military. Slow them down so they're not effective on the battlefield. This would maybe be good for that.
Yeah, I would want to have a vaccine first, or some sort of antiviral.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to have a defense against the virus first. The fact that it came out and spread so quickly and killed a lot of people in China suggests to me that they don't have a vaccine mm-hmm. or antiviral. So I don't think this is a smart thing for them to be
right.
doing, like killing their own people.
I don't think they intentionally. I'm saying like if they go, oh, okay, we're going to develop this virus. Let's just say it is this conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're not going to use it. But if we want to use it, this would be a good tool to just slow down a population and then let the military do its job as opposed to just killing everybody. You know what I mean? So you don't have to
scare
cause
them
these
into
mass
submission.
Yeah.
Or just weaken them to the point where, like, all right, we give up. You know, we're not going to have to drop these bombs. We're not going to have to do these. Yeah, and some people are going to die. You know, we said it's 1% death rate or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be as much as dropping a nuclear bomb, for example.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, there's kind of examples throughout history where infectious diseases have played a role in wars. The 1918 Spanish flu.
Yes, right? I saw that.
It's called the Spanish flu because Spain was not at war at the time and they could actually do surveillance. But I think most of the people that died during World War One died from Spanish flu, and not really
in
bombs.
Combat.
Yeah, not in bombs or mustard gas or whatever else they were using.
So they got sick.
They got sick.
Yeah.
So, you know, tens of thousands of our soldiers, the U.S. soldiers, they died from flu.
And they brought it back with them, the ones that survived.
Well, actually, it looks like that Spanish flu actually originated in the United States.
Oh, interesting.
Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but that went on to infect, you know, a huge number of people worldwide.
I wonder, because they said that was like really, really devastating.
Yeah, it was devastating. It was like 50 million people died or something.
Jeez.
Like that. Yeah, it was a lot.
Are you familiar with the Event 201 that took place with John Hopkins?
50 million, you were right.
And the World Health Organization? It's called Event 201. It was a
live simulation of a
coronavirus that took place in October 2019. Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks later, this happened. And it literally was this, what's happening now. And in the simulation, it freaked me out because they had like news coverage, and it's exactly what's happening. And in their simulation, they said 56 million people died in this coronavirus, which broke out in a pig farm in Brazil. I think it was this. And that was just a simulation. You know, mm-hmm. Don't freak out. But it was just the timing was so weird because October 2019, then the next month, all of a sudden this virus comes out. Bizarre.
Yeah, so I mean, for pandemic preparedness, they do this on occasion. They actually, every few years, they have a simulation to make sure that they know what can be done and how do you stop transmission, right? Do you close all the schools? Do you shut everything down like you do in Italy or Spain now? Or do you just do these smaller things that we're doing here, shutting down schools, shutting down pro sports. Mm-hmm. And it also, I mean, it also depends on the case fatality rate of the virus. I think what they used in their simulation was a little bit higher than the 1% that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think it was like 10.
Yeah.
But isn't this one, I've heard, because this is so new that they don't know, and perhaps I've heard it could be as high as 10% with this COVID-19.
I mean, it could be, but I think as we get better testing, and we see more cases that are mild or asymptomatic, I think the kind of number of cases will be greater. The number of people that die from the virus is probably not going to change as much because they're dying, they're dead, right? And we know when people die. Sometimes we just don't know when they're sick or infected with the virus.
Gotcha. Mm. If I can offer some silver lining, this has really slowed down ISIS's efforts. It says here, ISIS tells its terrorists not to travel to Europe for jihad. Not right now.
Oh, all right, good.
Because there of coronavirus. We want you to die, but, you know, we want you to make it there first and then feel free to kill people. But right now, they're dying all on their own. So everyone just take a breather, you know, relax, go have some hummus, whatever it is that you need, some falafel. It's delicious, best food out there. But yeah, so it really has slowed down terrorism, which is that's kind of good. That's kind of good. Silver lining. Kurt, thank you for holding. It says you live in the woods. What should you do? Okay, so we got Ted Kaczynski on the phone. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm out in the woods. I love your show, girl.
Thanks.
I'm out in the woods. What should I do?
sounds like you're good, man. I just stay in the woods.
Stay there. And,
yeah.
Stay in the woods
good.
Until
now I got to worry about moo effers, man, robbing me.
What?
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. As long as you're stocked up on toilet paper, you're good.
I'm stocked up, man.
You're good to go. All right. Well, just keep doing what you're doing.
What do you live in the woods, but do you have like a teepee, a tent, a van? What's your situation?
I got a tent, and I'm out in the woods. I got a part-time job. I work every day.
What's your job?
That's cool. Maintenance stuff, you know.
Do they know you live in the woods, your employer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
he's self.
You got health insurance?
Freelancer.
You got health insurance?
Hell no, I don't have health insurance.
All right.
Okay.
What's your social security number?
No, God, no, 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 thank you.
You want it?
No. All right, Kurt. Will, stop. All right. Well, enjoy your tent and your alleged part-time job. Okay. Have a good night. Don't die.
What am I supposed to do?
Just stay where you are. Don't move, Kurt.
You're good.
I feel like you're high risk. I feel like you're high risk. You got a smoker's cough. Get out of here. All right. Robert, thank you for holding. You have a conspiracy podcast. Is it one you would like to plug?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I don't need to plug it.
Okay.
I'll plug something that's not my butt later.
Okay.
So the
the conspiracy here is I have a different take. So your run-of-the-mill conspiracy is that you got Bill Gates, the Rothschild family, and some reptilian sitting in a room thinking about people. Ways to cull the population, right?
Yeah.
And they want to release a bioweapon that starts to diminish the numbers for the sake of population control and total draconian domination of the sheeple on the planet today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's your normal conspiracy. But, you know, this is 102.5 The Bone. We have to bring, you know,
spice
a real
it up.
Conspiracy
we bring
here.
The gusto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the real conspiracy here goes to not a laboratory, but a propagandist boardroom where they decided a long time ago, starting with the HIV/AIDS fraud, that they were going to use something known as the PCR test that Dr. Kerry Mullis won the Nobel Prize discovering to say that somebody has a viral infection of whatever proportion, whether it's HIV or COVID-19. The testing is at the essence of the diagnosis, and therefore it's at the essence of the nature of this disease. So therein lies what's really happening. People are being tested. And if they have any underlying health issues, mm-hmm. their antibody counts are going to be elevated. Therefore, it's going to trigger the COVID-19 rapid PCR test to suggest that someone does or does not have the dreaded coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Once they are tested, they are then marked as being a corona carrier, and they are put in their FEMA camp and dealt with accordingly. But the true nature of this is not one of people dying from this viral disease. That's not how viruses work. You see, Dr. Peter Duisberg from the University of Berkeley, the leading virologist in the world, has blown the whistle on this extensively, suggesting that what's really at hand is a normal immune system breakdown from normal bacteria and other immune-related issues, and not the viral cause that we're being told is at hand here. I know that's a little bit to wrap your head around, but that's the authentic conspiracy going on right now. And it will be used to take down our economy. It will be used to manipulate the masses into thinking that there's fear in a certain portion of us that are infected. And the reality of it is it's a farce. That's not to say that we shouldn't treat this seriously, that we shouldn't be prepared to protect our immune systems. I'm loading up on colloidal silver. I'm sitting out in the sun right now as we speak with my shirt off and my pants off, getting as much vitamin D as I possibly can.
I love this guy.
Eating high amounts of oranges and citrus, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this is propaganda at its finest. And I'm sitting in the middle of the woods in my house with my goats, chickens, fruit trees, gardens, ammo, and whatnot with my well water, and I'm ready.
Fantastic. Hey, what's the name of your podcast? I want to listen to it.
I gave you my email. Hit me up later. I don't want to plug it, man.
Why not? Isn't that the whole point is to be heard?
All right. Never mind. Thanks. See you.
All right. Thank you for calling. That was a great call, by the way, Robert. Appreciate it. He does call to stay woke. Yeah. That was great. I've come up with some of my own theories as well. Again, unfounded by any sort of evidence or factual information, but I think this possibly could be the hands of climate change activists. Mm. They're shutting everything down. People aren't traveling. They're trying to save the earth. And if they have to lose a few old people to do it, well, that's in the best interest of our future. That was just my theory that I threw out there. Again, no evidence, nothing at all. But the fact that this is coinciding a lot with global warming and we're killing the earth and no one is listening. And it's Greta Thunberg. That's who it is. She's the one. It's Greta. This is all Greta's fault. That Swedish bitch.
I mean, you're not totally wrong, because one of the outcomes is they had satellite footage of Italy and China, and the smog was way down. Yeah.
You're listening to 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw radio. Now, back to 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw radio.
Back. coronavirus coverage with myself, Anna, Will, Dr. Michael Tang. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
And Ryan Hoppy. After me, Johnny B is going to take over. Will remain. Ryan, are you going to be here as well?
Spencer will be here from 3 to 5 because that's his shift.
Okay.
But then I'll be here for the Mike show.
Yeah, nice. Hell yeah. Awesome.
What are you going to do with your 2 hours off?
I'm going to record my show.
Oh, okay.
All right. There you go.
Using your time wisely. Very good.
Hell
there you
yeah.
go. If you have any questions for the doctor, please call in 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. We are trying to keep you as safe and panic-free as possible because I don't know a lot, but what I do know is stress definitely lowers the immune system. So you freaking out and getting upset, cortisol is going to make you sick, and then you're going to think you're going to have corona, and then you're probably going to get it. So just try to remain calm, try to be prepared, and we can help you do that. 727-579-1025. Now, doctor, I did want to ask you a question about any sort of misinformation that you see going on right now. You know, a lot of boomers have taken to Facebook because they know everything and they're commenting about things you should and shouldn't do. Have you noticed anything that's out there that is actually bad advice or things maybe you shouldn't be doing? Or, I mean, I know a lot of it is like wash your hands. Most people are saying that. It's pretty obvious. But is there anything out there that is just false that people are spreading around that you've seen?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the things we see are people just ignoring advice.
Okay, right.
People just don't think it's a big deal. People think that it's flu. It's not flu. I mean, this is a very different virus.
Okay.
It's going to cause different disease. And the fact of the matter is that we have flu shots. We have vaccines against flu. And many of us have had flu before, so we have some sort of residual immunity to it.
Mm-hmm.
This virus, has never been in the human population before. So It's one of those viruses that is going to spread through the community until we develop as human beings an immunity to the virus. And then it'll start slowing down a bit. But I think just to equate this with the flu is one of the things that I think is really problematic because we're so used to the flu, right? We get flu every year if flu comes out. This is something different. This is a different animal. This is, you know, like I was saying to Will, this is 10 times more deadly than the seasonal flu. So it's something to take seriously. It's not just this run-of-the-mill virus that you think about. I've also heard, for example, some people have been talking about it as because it's a coronavirus, because it is in this family of viruses that also cause common cold, that it's just going to cause a common cold. This is a completely different coronavirus. This is not the ones that are normally circulating in humans. Mm-hmm. The ones that we have in humans, they do cause a common cold.
Have other names that we're familiar with? Like,
no, really? Nobody actually. I mean,
it's just like you have the cold, stay home.
You have the cold. Okay. You have. There's self-limiting infections, and there's nothing really we can do about it. So you say you have the cold. There are four coronaviruses that are normally in our population, and they have names that have numbers and letters. And
sure.
Don't mean anything.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're fine, but they're somewhat related to this coronavirus, but this particular virus came from an animal. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, we don't have any residual immunity to it. There's nothing we can do.
That's why it's so devastating.
Yeah, that's why we need to really prevent infections from person to person.
Is it more infectious than, say, like the common cold, or is it just that it's just a stronger strain of a virus? Like, you can get exposed to people that are sneezing and coughing and you're fine, you know, unless they cough right in your mouth or something like that,
right?
But with this, it seems like it's more contagious, or that it's just more devastating effects once you get it?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think the one thing that we hadn't really fully appreciated before is how infectious it is. I mean, we're now learning that, you know, it seems that people that before they have symptoms, they can transmit
spread
the virus. And then even after your symptoms go away, it looks like you can spread the virus.
There's viral shedding. Is that a thing?
Viral shedding. That's the word. That's the phrase.
I did my research.
Yeah. Viral shedding before and after symptoms.
And we said shedding, folks.
Shedding.
Not the other word.
Right. But so that's the issue, that we're still so early in the the epidemic pandemic that there's a lot of stuff we don't know.
Sure, sure. And again, I know that there's a lot of variables that we don't know and that you don't know. But if you were to just take an estimation, a guess at how long this is going to be a serious problem for not just our country, but globally, can you even put a timestamp on it? Or is it just so we just don't know yet?
I think it really depends on how well our public health measures work.
The actions we take.
Yeah, the actions that we take. I think we're seeing already in China and South Korea that the number of cases are going down. And they took some pretty extreme public health measures. Mm-hmm. If we can do that and have the numbers of cases go down like we saw there, then maybe by the end of the summer, it should be a little bit more controlled, at least in the United States. But it also depends on how seriously we as a nation take it. I think a lot of the Chinese and South Koreans, they actually, after these really stringent public health measures were taken, they actually accepted it. And they actually just went about their day listening to what the government had to say.
Mm-hmm.
We're Americans. We don't like to listen to what the government says, right?
Right.
But we need to have people really take this seriously.
This is going to be a test, too, for the Constitution, because China, they obviously, they don't have the type of freedoms that we have. They go, you can't go outside
Facebook.
We'll shoot you in the face. And they go, okay, well, I guess I'll stay in the house here. This is going to be it's going to be a test, because if you suspend things like the Constitution, you may not get it back. That's the thing that I'm concerned about.
Well, so we do have provisions that when the president declares a public health emergency, right, there are emergency powers that can be used, and they're supposed to be temporary, and they're supposed to be used with, checks and balances, right, that we have the judiciary and the Congress to provide checks and balances on what the executive does. So in those kind of extraordinary cases, you can take away some of our liberties to prevent.
And you look at those temporary measures, things like the Patriot Act, for example, which was supposed to be temporary, and it gets voted in every time to extend it every time. And that's just going to be part of American life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we have to decide what we're willing to put up with. Mm-hmm. Right. And as voters, I mean, primaries, Tuesday? And
some of them are getting delayed.
Georgia did.
Louisiana.
Louisiana did as well. Right. It's Florida's still on, though, on Tuesday.
That's a bad idea. I wouldn't go if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But anyways, let's take another question from Jacob. He has a general risk question while being at work. Jacob, thank you for joining us this afternoon. How can we help you?
Yeah, I just had a couple questions for y'all. So I'm a server, I wait tables. I'm generally coming into contact with a minimum of 100 random people a night. How bad or not bad is that?
Well, it's not good.
That's how I feel too.
You're taking cash. I don't know if you saw that video of OJ spraying down his cash, but maybe you should start doing that.
I can't really do that, but I'm washing my hands as much as I can. I'm not touching my face. I'm trying not to touch other people. Is there anything else I can really do besides stay home?
No, it sounds like you're doing the right things. In the end, the way that this virus transmits, right, it can transmit by contact or it can transmit through the air, but every virus has a particular amount of virus that needs to be transmitted in order to establish infection. Some viruses are really, really potent at infecting. So one infectious virus can start an infection. Things like measles virus, really, really infectious. It's not clear what this one is, but most coronaviruses are not that. You have to be infected by multiple viruses in order to get infected. So the precautions that you're taking, washing your hands, trying to stay away from people who are kind of, sneezing and coughing, symptomatic. I think you're doing the right things. I just, the your job is just not is a service industry.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the service industry jobs, you have to come into contact with people.
A lot of risk.
Right. So that's
how old are you, Jacob?
I'm 29, I'm single, by the way, Anna.
Oh, nice.
But, I should be all right, I think. I'm just, my stepdad,
only has one kidney. He's on like immunosuppressive drugs and stuff. So I'm just kind of worried about carrying and like
you live with him?
Getting him sick, you know. No, I don't. Okay. I don't. So I'm pretty much staying away from my parents right now, too.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yo, Anya, anytime you want to grab a couple Coronas, holler at your boy.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate you. Yeah.
Thanks for being on, guys.
All right. No problem. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be practicing social distancing.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how, like, introverts, this is like a wet dream for an introvert. Like, they don't have to go to work, a lot of them. They don't have to see anybody. They can just stay home and do their own thing. We're going to be taking questions for the next few minutes. Folks, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025.
There's always so much to do. I mean, you can't stop living your life. I mean, like, look, being alive is a risk. You could walk out the door and get hit by a bus. I mean, things are going to happen, but you take these precautions. You make sure your area is clean. You wash your hands, and you just take those steps. I mean, that's going to help, but you can't just stop living. I mean, you can live in a bubble if you want to, but it's just the way it is. That's life.
Yeah. You know, for people in the service industry, you do come into contact with a lot of people during the day. But again, you have to remember that, you know, 99.9% of them are not infected with anything, right? They're also just living their lives. There's people like the healthcare providers, people in emergency rooms, the doctors, that infectious disease doctors that actually see patients who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, you know, then you start taking more extreme protective measures, right? Those are the people that need the N95s to prevent spread of infection. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, I mean, you're not going to be a server and wear a mask.
What about home nurses, like nurses that work at home? Because my mom's a nurse up in the Midwest. She works at like a home for a kid that can't move. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think for home nurses that actually go to people's homes, I think the more of the risk is the nurse bringing the infectious disease in because, I mean, the kids probably
they're
not leaving the house that much, right? But yeah, so there's all the workers in the nursing homes, for example, where, you know, in Washington State, that the first big kind of cluster of cases
that
was
outbreak.
In a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
All those nursing home workers are going to get, you know, they have to take extreme preventive care.
Right, because they could be hurting more people than they're helping.
Yeah,
that's really scary. Because then you think about, like, obviously you want to go to the doctor and the nurses when you're sick, but also I feel like the nurses and the doctors are the ones you should be staying away from because they're getting the most exposure. So, yeah, my heart really goes out for the people that are, you know, nurses, doctors, anybody working in a hospital or clinic or something like that, because they're just getting just an influx of so many people, sick or otherwise. They, like you said, they may have corona, they may have something else. They're just sick and they're scared.
Right.
So it's not good. All right, let's take a few more questions before we have to go. We have Deborah. She has a West Virginia question.
Yes, why do you think that West Virginia is the only state that hasn't reported any? And has Hawaii or Alaska?
I know Alaska has.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about Hawaii.
I think Hawaii. Well, I don't know. I know there's 49 states right now out of 50 that have reported cases. I would venture a guess, West Virginia, if anybody starts coughing or sneezing, they're shot immediately dead in public. So they don't even have a time to get tested. So everybody's fine. Yeah, they're not getting tested because they're getting shot in the streets.
I think
why do you think that they're not reporting any?
Some of it might have to be with how well their testing capabilities are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the CDC has
some
issues.
Or do you think it's just so isolated that people are so spread out because it is a pretty mountainous...
Are you from West Virginia?
They're all high on opiates, let's be honest.
Or are you contemplating moving there? Are you contemplating moving... Deborah, I think you're better with having corona than moving to West Virginia. It's not good there.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm from New Orleans. I'm in Florida now, wanting to go to the West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of population in West Virginia, too, like Morgantown. There's universities and stuff. I think having cases is really a function also of being able to test.
Mm-hmm.
And some states are better able to test than others. And so, you know, like Florida, we're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have really fairly accurate numbers. And West Virginia.
So you think that they're just not testing and that's why there's nothing reporting?
I think it's probably that. Not that they're not testing, but their testing capabilities have come online a little bit slower than everybody else. And so maybe this is, maybe we'll see a bunch of cases in West Virginia in the next couple of weeks.
Or maybe they're not, you know, these Appalachian men, they're not pussies like the rest of us. They're like, I'll just walk it off. I don't need no doctor. Yeah. I'm going to just stay home and eat some soup and I'll be fine.
System. And Oxycontin.
There you go. Snort some Oxys. They'll be good to go. Some Percocets. We're back. All right, Deborah, we got to get going, but thank you for... I don't care.
Go ahead, Deborah. Deborah?
No, we got to go. I just have Guy. Is your name Guy, or are you a Guy?
No, my name is Guy.
Your name
How
is
you
Guy.
Guys doing?
Good, good. Yeah. Last question of the show before I hand it off to Johnny B. What's going on?
Well, my wife and I are doing a two-week isolation, not because of any coronavirus. She just had hip surgery.
Oh, sorry.
So we were told to stay in the house for 2 weeks and nurse her along.
Right.
But my feeling is we have the greatest doctors and the greatest scientists in the world right here in our country. And
is this where we USA chant? Okay, no. Go ahead.
That's right.
Okay.
No, and I firmly believe that people in our country are going to get this figured out. And that's I just stay positive in that.
All right.
And that's just the way I feel. We're going to get it done.
Guy, I would not like to end with any other caller but you. All ending right. on a high note. Thank
that's
you,
fantastic.
Guy. Have a good one and speedy
Thank
recovery
you. You
to your wife.
Day. And All right. wash your hands.
Wash your damn hands.
You're listening to 102.5 The Bone. Real. Raw. Radio.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.